North Carolina, first in flight.
About gaining control of your life and letting go at the same time. There's only one other acceptable theory about how to hit a golf ball. Grip it and rip it.
But this week, it's all about ball flight, bogeys, and birdies.
Watch the birdie.
This is Dirt and Sprague on PGA Championship Week.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in the second hour of the program. Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, and of course, YouTube.
Hello, we are primetime. I'm Suk, he's Isaac.
Is it still on there as YouTube is primetime?
It's also also Monday. I don't know how the lottery is going to go tonight. Don't spoil it for me.
We were on. People found us. I didn't want to monkey with it anymore this morning.
No, I think the Blazers got a legit shot tonight. I'm pretty fired up to see how the lottery goes.
Happy Monday. I'm from the future.
Happy Monday. How was your weekend, guys?
You'll never believe what's going to happen tonight.
Is it going to be depressing? No, it can't be. Knowing our history in basketball, there's no way it is.
We're going to slide back.
What?
And the Mavs are going to get the number one pick.
You're never
going to go on a limb?
Dude, there's no chance that's going to happen. You're an idiot, okay? You're an idiot. What are the odds of that taking place? You're a moron. Turn his mic off.
Yeah. Not great, Bob. Yesterday this happened to us.
The 11th pick belongs to the Portland Trailblazers. That means Dallas has moved inside the top four. The Mavericks have never won the lottery.
Thank for that kick in the nuts, and then let's follow it up with another swift kick in the nuts.
By the way, another team. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I know it's great to watch that. I was watching for the logo before the announcement. I saw that pinwheel. I saw the top of it. And I went, oh, no.
No, no, not already. It's too soon. Too soon. Not 11. No.
Very tough night for our Trailblazers. We had a lot of people. There's, you know, look, when these things happen, you're absolutely going to get some pushback and I guess disagreement or debate. There's a lot of people, I think, more in the camp today of like, yeah, why'd you do what you did this year?
It didn't make a lot of sense.
But you do. Like, I want to read this text, okay? I don't like to reveal a lot of, I'm not going to name names. Just going to say it was my brother-in-law, okay? Shoots me a text yesterday, unsolicited, as soon as we got the news we were 11.
He's a diehard. He's
I mean,
live and die with
if
it.
If you cut the man open,
there's red and black.
Red and black comes out. You'd be like, what planet you from? And he'd be like, yeah. Planet Allen, Vulcan.
He poops out.
I'm a Vulcan.
Poops out pinwheels. That's what he does.
Text me, 4:17 p.m.
Oh, that's right. That's hot. Hot off the
right
press.
Right after it, right?
Ooh, we just got kicked in the nuts. What's the takeaway?
F this. I said, can't love the winning, but get mad at the results.
Nope.
They effed themselves.
Yep.
3 minutes later. No, 6 minutes later, because I responded right away. LOL, not that worried about it. I hope he goes to Charlotte, talking about Flag. They suck as a franchise.
Don't worry.
I said, no, don't you worry. Asa Newell's going to have you right back loving every second of this team.
Yes.
With his 10-4. Playing 21 minutes a night. They'll win 38 games next year.
You're going to be all in.
And they'll tell you you're close. And you'll buy it.
We're one more move away, dude. We are one step away from contending in the NBA.
Now, I should note, he is enough of a psycho to acknowledge himself. He is a psycho. So he laughed at this, and he's like, yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, I mean, you turn on a preseason game, and you get highlights of Mario Hezonja throwing down a dunk, and you're going to be right back to where you were. But in the immediate reaction to it, you're going to be livid, and at least for a brief moment say, maybe I was wrong.
And it just, I'm not surprised that we had people in mentions that were basically like, if your contention to get Flag was lose more, look at the team that got him. We had this from Jeff. Was your contention the Blazers needed to lose more games? If so, you're definitely wrong. Portland needed to win more games to get Flag. In which I'm literally responding now. So is your contention that only getting the number one pick mattered?
That's the only one.
You didn't want number two in this draft? Because I think, oh, line two, Joe Cronin disagreeing with you.
Would you rather have the two picks? So San Antonio got the two pick. Did they win more or less games than the Blazers this year?
Two less.
Okay. Philadelphia is the third pick. More or less?
Less.
Charlotte, fourth less. Pick. Utah, fifth pick. Less. Washington, sixth pick. Less. New Orleans, seventh pick. Less. Brooklyn, eighth pick. Yeah. Toronto, ninth pick. And Houston, the tenth pick.
Yeah.
So
Phoenix, Houston, yeah.
Phoenix,
yeah,
Houston. Yeah, you get the point. It goes to Houston.
So every team in front of you sans the Mavericks, who got the biggest of prizes.
Dallas got they're the bell of the ball.
Yep.
They won the lottery last night, literally and figuratively. But every other team benefited. And I it just... I think the thing that frustrates me most about being a fan of this team, I get a lot of this. I had a buddy who texted me yesterday. He's like, I think you hate the Blazers. And it's like, dude.
I get people that ask me that all the time.
It couldn't be
when
more
they
the
see
opposite.
It, if they bring it up, yeah, man, I think Coast doesn't like the team. And I'm like, well.
I don't like the direction of it. I don't like the ownership group. The problem that I have with it ultimately is that I as a show host, I don't hate them. I want them to be good. Do you realize how much easier my job is this time of year if the Blazers are playing in the playoffs? If we're coming in today and it's not bitching for 24 hours about the lottery and then moving on, and instead we're previewing game four of the second round of the playoffs, and you got a 2-1 series lead against insert opponent here, and you're 2 wins away from going to a conference
finals. I'd love to
finals,
be the Indiana Pacers.
Do you
today.
Have
It'd
any idea how much easier that makes our job?
We have a
May.
Shot at a title or getting to the finals? Like, I'd be all about it.
The relevancy of basketball is now going to come to an end for a lot of people. I know people will still tune into the playoffs, and then we'll pick back up again for the draft, and then it'll evaporate again. Mm-hmm. And it won't be a day in and day out conversation for a lot of the year. I desperately want them to be better. I am somebody who has had a fundamental agreement for a number of years now about the way they have handled things and the way they've planned out trying to build this roster back up. And the biggest issue that I had last year going into the season, there are too many quotes on tape of me saying it, is that you kept too many veteran players that are going to, one, limit the minutes of your young guys who you're trying to develop, and they're going to put you in a position to probably win too many games, and you're going to end up right where you don't want to be. Where you don't want to be in the NBA is not good enough and not bad enough, and that's the definition of the Portland Trailblazers right now. The tough news for you is it's not going to change. Where are they going to go next year? Are they going to fall off a cliff and be a top five drafting team? Or are they going to push, maybe win three or four
no,
more games and be a playing game?
They're
clearly
be,
heading in that direction. This was your last opportunity with the development of the young players to say, we have a chance to go snag one more star, which is the thing that you are missing most, and it is the missing ingredient that will keep you from doing anything that matters in the years to come. You had a 3-point-whatever-percent chance last night to hit. It didn't hit for you. It hit for Dallas. But the teams who were slightly ahead of you or behind you, depending on how you want to define it, and the win-loss records benefited greatly. You had a legitimate shot at the end of the season to chase down the San Antonio Spurs. But for whatever reason this year, unlike in years past, you decided not to tank until it was too late. You beat San Antonio in a game. They ended up with a number two overall pick, which could turn into a superstar player or a trade for Giannis Antetokounmpo, and you're left with 11 saying, who are the scraps at the end of the lottery?
Well, the good thing about the 11th pick in the draft, I got a history of the 11th pick in the draft. We've had the 11th pick in the draft.
Yeah,
huh?
Who was the last one?
Can you name him?
I can.
Oh, you know who it is?
Oh, I know who it
Swag.
Is.
I played a game with Swag today. I said, can you name the best player that's been picked 11th since the year 2000 in NBA draft history?
Oh, in the NBA draft, I don't know if I could do that.
Well, I gave him
87 hints, and I was
I might give him the first couple hints I just thought were fairly obvious. I gave him even more hints that he couldn't. He went Riggins on me.
He went Riggins, just blanked on you?
Just completely so blank stare.
And I you eventually
yeah, I basically
there,
told you.
Led me there with crumbs like I'm going to.
I fed you. I put the spoon in your mouth, and you're like, this is good.
I was Hansel and Gretel. That's pretty much what was going on.
I'll go through that list here in a minute.
I thought he was drafted later than that.
No, it was just on the outside of the top 10. We'll go through that. I'll go through the players that have been already mocked to Portland. It's mock season, baby.
Mock season.
The good news for Portland before I play this Joe Cronin audio, because Sean Hyken was there. He did a great report. Holdall talked about it on his podcast. The good news about this before I play our Joe Cronin audio is 11th traditionally in the NBA draft is set to go get a great role player. We already have a superstar. We are set. We're in a perfect position to add an eighth man off the bench.
I have said nobody develops 8-9 players like the Portland Trailblazers.
Here is Joe Cronin in Chicago on getting the 11th pick.
Of course, you always want to move up, but this is a draft that we like. We like the depth of it. There's good players all throughout the lottery, so we'll be just fine where we landed.
It'll be just fine where we landed. He was talking about keeping the pick versus trading it.
Always want to be open-minded. You know, we'll do our due diligence, do a lap around the league and see what's available. But, you know, we'll also focus heavily on, okay, this player is a, you know, another addition that we can make to this team.
And he talked about drafting for position versus, you know, best player available. Which direction do you kind of lean?
I always hope to approach and go through the draft taking the best player available. You know, I hope we don't deviate, but you know, need is on our mind. Like, we think about, okay, what exact types of guys do we need to add? But I think the draft is mostly, you know, grab the best player available and then figure it out after that.
So I want to be very transparent here. I didn't hear these clips until I came in this morning. Okay? That's the first time I heard that clip. Can you catch what just caught my ear? And I'm curious if it caught your ear. I want to play this one more time.
Oh, I caught this last night.
I always hope to approach and go through the draft taking the best player available. You know, I hope we don't deviate, but...
What would you do?
I hope we don't. You're the general manager.
Are you not the decision maker? Do you not get to call who the team is?
I hope we don't deviate.
I mean, it tells you all you need to know. That is he the ultimate decision maker?
No, but I've always thought this
is it
about
a Burke Hold thing?
Well, no, I think it's a Schmitz pick.
Okay, sure.
I think all these picks are Schmitz picks. I think there's a reason you hire that dude, and he's your assistant general manager.
Yeah.
It's him. He's the talent
evaluator.
He just
gets the ultimate say on who we're drafting.
That's a wild thing to say out loud.
I hope we don't deviate
from what we normally do.
You're the guy in charge. That's something a fan would say. Hey, let's take best available. I hope they don't deviate from their plan. You're the guy that makes the decision. You're the one in charge of not deviating.
It couldn't have gone worse for them yesterday. It really couldn't have. Maybe going to 12th, I guess, but like...
Yeah, technically, it could have gotten worse.
It could have gotten
technically,
worse.
Technically, there was a chance it could get worse.
But you slid from 10 to 11, and now we've got the mocked players. Also, what is the history of the 11th pick? I'll give you the list of the 11th, the 11th pick in the NBA draft since the year 2000.
We've had it twice.
We will run through the list of the players since the year 2000 who have fallen to 11th, and I will give you the names of the players that are being mocked to Portland early this morning as all the people got on their mock drafts late last night, as it was the wildest NBA draft lottery of my life. It was. Statistically speaking, the top three cannot happen. Somehow math didn't math yesterday.
Less than a quarter of a percent or a tenth of a percent.
That's nuts. Yeah. So it was a wild outcome to the lottery. Who are the players being mocked here? And what is the history of the 11th pick? That's next on The Fan. Welcome back in. Despite some of you maybe thinking we're curmudgeon-y this morning because we slipped to 11th, I just want to say, really cool scene and kick-ass what happened in Eugene yesterday.
That was badass, man. Really smart of the WNBA to let us air that game and put it on television to market that. We got a star back in our college town, a sold-out arena.
Is that out of the league's control? Because I also was like, what?
It was a league decision.
You're not having our rights. WNBA decision.
Yeah. They put Caitlin Clark's game on television when they played Brazil.
Yeah, that's how you grow the sport, though, you know.
I mean, they've grown the sport pretty well. You got to give them credit. That arena was packed. It's the first time all year.
Well, it was technically the Liberty's home game, so it was under their auspices. And my guess is
we wanted to air the game. They wouldn't let us air the game.
Yeah, we were going to pick up the Ducks broadcast of it, and we were told we couldn't due to their broadcast arrangements or something.
Sabrina's a rock star in Eugene, man. She always will be. That was pretty cool to see.
My guess is they don't know how to read a map past the Mississippi River in New York and figured we were within.
That cannot be true.
Yes.
They've got a Seattle. No, they have a Seattle team. They've got L.A. team. They got a San Francisco team now. And
we still got horse and buggy in
year.
Oregon. We got the Oregon Trail.
I think they don't know how far Eugene is from Portland. That's my guess.
Then they shouldn't run a league. I mean, that takes all of 2 seconds to find out.
I know.
Pretty easy fix.
It's not the same market.
Was reminded, by the way, Josh Hart. I had a buddy that was like, hey, remember they traded Josh Hart for Cam Reddish, who's not in the league, and Chris Murray, who may or may not be getting a second contract in the league. So
Cam Reddish was a lottery pick, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, about that. So... we're the 11th pick in the draft. I'll get through the mock. I want to quickly go through the history of the 11th pick in the draft since 2000.
There's decent names there.
Because you said there was two. We just had a slight miscommunication. The Blazers have picked 11th twice. They drafted Fat Lever. Famously, I went to college with Fat Lever's niece. Very nice guy.
1982, 3, 4, somewhere in there.
I think it was 82.
82, yep. Does that sound right?
She's now running Amazon Music stuff. She's very successful. She's a very nice person in college.
All-time name.
So that's my 6 degrees of separation from Fat Lever.
Lafayette Fat Lever.
And the other one was Myers Leonard in 2012, the 11th overall pick. Yeah.
Blessed. The Blazers were blessed.
We were blessed in that year. That draft did bless us, just not with the 11th overall pick.
Bouzelis last year, Jet Howard the year before, Ousmane Dieng of the Thunder in 22, James Bouknight in 21.
We're on a roll right now.
Devin Vassell, they gave him a big deal in 2020. Cam Johnson, the T-Wolves in 2019. SGA. 2018.
SGA. There's your sliver of hope.
By the way, picked by the Hornets?
I don't remember that.
Traded to the Clippers in that draft then, or the rights went to it, whatever. Yeah.
Was that a draft day deal?
It might have been, yeah. I didn't look up the history. I'm just picking off the 11th picks in the draft. Malik Monk. DeMontis was the 11th pick.
DeMontis Sabonis.
Miles Turner. May know him in the NBA playoffs.
Yep.
Dougie McBuckets. Michael Carter Williams. Klay Thompson, the best one of the group. Cole Aldridge, Terrence Williams, Jared Bayless, A.C. Law, J.J. Redick, Frank Vasquez, Andres Beatriz, Michael Petras, Jared Jeffries, Kendrick Brown, and Jerome Moiso. And by the way, the Jared Bayless one also had to have been a draft day trade, right?
Had to have been, yeah.
So technically two?
Yeah.
Technically, kind of.
They don't associate us with on StatMuse. They don't give us the credit for it. But yeah,
I don't remember when the Bayless trade happened, how late after the draft.
But there you go. That's the history of the players taking at 11th overall. You've got all-timer, and you've got a couple really good role guys.
If the Blazers could find I'm going to leave SGA out of it. They could find a DeMontis Sabonis at 11. Blazer fans should do cartwheels.
One out of the 25.
Yeah. One out of the 25. I mean, you're looking at, in terms of like legitimate, could be an impactful player on a championship team in the last 25 years. What do we got? A list of three or four, give or take?
Klay, SGA, DeMontis.
I mean, is it anybody
else? Turner. Miles Turner.
Miles Turner's
a really good player. Really good. Okay, so you got four out of 25.
Four out of 25.
That's kind of your list right now, and it's too early on some of the, you know, Bouzelis, who I think was the rep for the Bulls last
night. Vassell, if he's on them, we'll see. With the Spurs?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe
he's
down
a good
the road.
Shooter. He got a contract.
He could be that guy. Is it
Vassell or Vassell? I always forget with
him. I thought it was Vassell.
Okay, I did too, but if I'm wrong, apologies there. How about this, and then I'll go to the mocks? Because I still think there's this weird, the draft lottery doesn't usually get this much run the day after, because I also think it's fascinating what some of these teams at the top are going to do with those picks. I think that's a conversation.
And I think it's more, I mean, everybody knows now, you know, Cooper Flagg in Dallas, and they'll start down there.
I mean, that's a certainty.
But then
it gets weird from there.
The curiosity
Spurs is
there's still quality guys that are expected to have an impact in the NBA early in their careers, you know, two through five or six maybe, and how does all that play out? You throw in, is Giannis one out of Milwaukee? What does that throw into teams that have picks two through five and their willingness to want to make a deal? So I think the draft could be a little more interesting than maybe it's been in past years.
Before I get to the mock talent here, this was a nice kick in the junk from our good friend at Ben Golliver.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, Ben.
The Mavericks won the lottery with the ping pong ball combination of 10, 14, 11, and 7.
Yeah.
The Wizards would have won if the last ball had been 1. The Blazers would have won if the last ball had been 6. This is exactly what happened in the Wimby draft as well. We were one number away.
So think about it from this.
And I know there's more math. I had somebody was like, technically 9 out of the, and I was just, they were mathing.
No.
And I give them, like, good math, you.
Yeah, way to go, math.
I just want to read this and say we were close.
We were close. So think about it from this perspective and watching that event last night.
Okay.
They open the envelope 11, kick in the junk, it's over. The way that the NHL did it by bringing the ping pong balls out. So they picked the first three. So now they put the odds up and the combinations of who gets, based on that last ping pong ball, here's all the teams that can still get the number one pick.
That's what the NHL did this year?
Yes.
See, I want that. Put that on my television. I should have tuned in. When you text that, I kind of dismissed it.
I know you don't care about who the number one pick is, but I was like, oh my God, this is so much more dramatic.
This is the way to do it.
And so then they take a timeout. They take a commercial break after the third ball is announced. They come back. You got Bucci Gras there explaining things and everything going on. Now, maybe the kick to the nuts is a little, you know, hurts a little deeper at that point. but you realize you're one.
You're
of,
still in the mix, and it would have been incredibly intense.
I do think you're right, though. I think seeing it happen that way, knowing
odds adjust as the combinations go down.
One more number. You're like at a craps table, rolling the dice. Give me a seven.
And for those that think, oh well, why didn't the fan do a draft party like you did for Wemby or whatever? If you had
our odds sucked,
we were 10th.
If we were in the top five, we probably would have thought of to do something.
But had you drawn it out so you know you're going to get 15, 20 minutes of suspense and drama right there.
Well, let's go to a couple mocks. I'm still waiting on the no ceilings mock. That'll probably come out right at 9 o'clock, but I'll give you a couple mocks here. Let's start with the Ringer. The Ringer did their mock draft, and they got to the Blazers. And with the 11th pick, they have mocked Maryland freshman Derek Queen to the Portland Trail Blazers.
Take centers with back-to-back picks.
He's more of a forward. He's 6'10", 245. Okay. We also got sizes of dudes. Ace Bailey went from 6'10 to 6'7.
They did all the measurements out there at the combine.
They did. Cooper Flagg grew an inch, because of course, when you can get the number one prospect, he's going to grow an inch.
Of course.
I think he gained like 15 to 20 pounds,
He gained
too.
20 pounds. Yeah. His wingspan is
Duke's insane. One of those schools I could see going the other way in the program, like saying they're smaller than they actually are.
Sure.
I see that
if
from
you
Duke.
Cared at all about having any other pick outside of one, which I thought everybody wanted, but you know, based on some of the rhetoric, it's like, well, there was only one pick and we didn't
one,
get it, who cares?
Number one or bust.
Dylan Harper measured at 6'4.5", so that'll be damn near 6'6" in shoes. He's got a 6'10" wingspan.
Yeah, it's a pretty sizable point guard right there. Would have been nice to have with the number two pick.
Bigger than the old Scooter. Yeah. Here is what they write about Queen on the Ringer. Queen is a bit of an odd bird. Off to a great start. A mostly ground-bound scoring big who can bully opponents largely doesn't. So he can do it, but he largely doesn't.
Sounds like he's going to fit right in.
His craft around the basket and consistent ability to get there, whether facing up from the foul line or picking his spots as a rolling screener, are nearly peerless in his class. His role on defense and iffy shooting loom over his upside, but Portland's roster is big and long enough to cover him on the former, while his passing and broad offensive skill set should find a nice playmaking synergy. I see the Queen stuff, and I read about him before this, and basically I read it as like ceiling for him is Julius Randle or Randolph.
Yes, that's what you're
Zach Randolph
at.
Or
so
Julius
Randle. So if you
Randle.
See Portland all of a sudden announcing the hire of Zebo as an assistant coach, then you know Queen's going to be the draft with. Pick.
He's one of the tougher calls in this draft class, a true glasses half full or empty type player.
Depending on your look at it.
He's an older freshman, but he's also a behemoth with uncommon nimbleness and open space and surprising balance and body control.
I mean, essentially what you're looking at with the 11th overall pick, and not that earlier picks aren't this as well, but you're looking at somebody if you draft there that is, I mean, you're taking a freshman who, I think he hit the only game winner in March Madness this year, so that was a fun highlight for Maryland.
Of true buzzer beaters.
Yes. Of true buzzer beaters. Yeah, I think he was the only one that hit one. I mean, you're looking at a guy who's, I mean, it's 2 to 3 years to develop to where you want him to be. With the 11th overall pick, that is the point. Not that earlier picks can't be that. Portland clearly has taken a guy with the 3rd overall pick who's going to take a number of years to see and get there, but you're not going to get an immediate difference maker the way that this organization was hoping for.
Well, also listed as a center, I think he'd play at the 4. I think you could talk yourself into that being okay because he's 6'10 and he can shoot a little bit and he's a pick and roll guy. Weird fit with Klingon is what it sounds like from just reading some of the early intel on him, because he was also mocked in ESPN's mock.
Yes.
Now we'll go through more mocks. We'll build it up as we go and get closer. But they write very similar things. Conditioning, occasional apathy defensively, and lack of shooting range are things NBA teams will be looking at with this guy. Also talks about how Portland is ahead of their scheduled rebuild because they went 23-18 over their final 41.
Yes, we're red hot and rolling.
All of that unexpected winning diminished their lottery odds and has them starting at a third tier of prospects with plenty of talent but obvious flaws. His lack of shooting might not be ideal fit on paper for Portland, that has already struggled from the perimeter, but his talent might be too big to pass on, especially if Klingon can make a jump with his shooting and showing that in his flashes.
Yes, baby.
And here's the other part of this. I didn't even get to this because I ran out of time. I know. I'm over the clock. We could get Derek Queen. Let's just say the mocks are mocking. Okay? Maybe that's right.
Maybe it's correct.
By the way, mail sack coming up at 8:15, or I'm at 8. I find it odd, interesting that, like, they're telling us how close they are, they're going to take this kid who's 20 and clearly really raw.
Clearly a project.
So is he going to come off the bench and substitute Jeremy Grant? And then, like, are we going to be sold that that's going to put us over the top, a 20-year-old who's not a finished product?
Is he going to play 12 minutes a game next year because Jeremy Grant's still here as your four?
Well, if he's not going to play defense, because remember, we're built around defense.
Then you
got to
have to sit him down. Anthony Simons is a lockdown defender on that end of the floor, so that's defense, the only way that you get playing time for Chauncey Billups.
His defense is a common theme that I've read about with him of, like, he's not the most engaged defender. Now, it's college. Maybe he'll change his tune in the NBA.
That's usually how it works out, right?
But I largely don't think that'll happen in year one. It's something you got to develop. I'm just fascinated with all of this, and we can be critical. Some of us are going to be, hey, man, yay, Blazers, no matter what.
No matter what happens.
I just find it all very interesting from our vantage point of doing media stuff of, we're close, but we're going to play a 20-year-old high-level minutes who maybe not is a great defender. It's very interesting. The mocks and the process of the workouts, all of it, fascinating to me.
Yeah, I think it's why I put up a poll question last night, and you did one similar prior to knowing what the lottery odds were. And once we found out what the 11th overall pick was, and we talked a little bit about this on the show yesterday, what do you want him to do with the pick? Do you want him to trade the pick or keep the pick? Because this is where I feel like they're telling you two different things at the same time. They're going to tell you publicly that, man, we had this huge growth this year, and look at our improvement, and what were we, 23-18 in our last 41 games, and look how good we were defensively. We took massive strides. Next year, we take another stride. I'm going to be competing for the playoffs. If that truly is your path and your belief behind the scenes, there is zero doubt in your mind that the 11th overall pick is going to do nothing to change your circumstances in the next 2 to 3 years. If you draft a player at this pick, as we're just talking about with Derek Queen, and we can go through the other mocks of the guys who are, you know, kind of, you know, linked to Portland with that selection, those are guys that are projects. They're 2 to 3 year development guys that maybe in a couple of years you get something out of it and he becomes a key rotational player. The odds in the history tell you your chance of landing a superstar with the 11th overall pick are few and far between. So you're looking for a role player. Another role player does nothing to change your circumstances in the short term. So on the one hand, you're telling me we're close, we've developed, we have our superstar on the team, we're ready to kind of move in that direction. But on the other hand, if you just stand pat and draft a guy 11th overall, you're telling me you don't think that's truly how your organization outlook is over the next 2 to 3 years.
I think they're going to take the pick because rookie scale contract. But
yes,
I think if
this
you
is
are,
a business.
If you are as close as you say you are, as your coach suggests you are,
then there's not a doubt in my mind that you trade the pick and go get a difference maker.
Being open to trading that pick is what I would say should definitely be just as worthy on the table as taking a 20-year-old who may or may not play defense at all and struggle shooting the basketball. Yep. That's what I would say.
Yep.
Bill Orme at 8 o'clock, mail sack coming up at 8:15. So get the mail sack questions into the fan text line 503-864-6326. We're a little over, so Dirt and Sprague, we're back with more.
All right, welcome back in 7:40. It's funny to watch Sprague get all poopy pants during the break reading listener tweets and comments about the state of the organization. You got a little dirt in you today. I'm proud of you, buddy.
All I'm asking for here, it's not about being poopy pants. Like, yesterday was awful. Like, there's no sugarcoating that. And if you can't just say that, then
That's the city. We will sugarcoat anything.
You're going to buy everything that team sells you. They could lose for five more straight years, and you tell yourself, oh, I'm going to shine this turd for a decade of losing. We're really close,
You're trying
guys.
To justify the check you're writing for season tickets at that point.
I mean, somebody says, why would it have been better to tank? The worst teams didn't need the top pick either. For F's sakes, I'd rather have gotten some wins, seen development, and gotten a little hope than just blatantly tank for 82 games. That is disingenuous.
Nobody's. Yeah.
You didn't have to be Charlotte, Washington, and Utah.
No.
You could have been exactly what you were. You could have lost three.
Three more games.
Just three more games.
Three more games.
Been worse than San Antonio by a game.
And landed the two pick.
Gotten the two pick, and you'd come in and say, look at that. It worked exactly how we could have hoped. We got all that development,
and
we landed the two pick. Yep. Here we go. But because the Mavericks, who made the play in, went ahead of you and everybody else and got Cooper Flagg, we're only focusing on number one. That is you are straight lying to yourself and everybody else you talk to if all you're focused on is number one. We didn't think number one was going to happen. The pie-in-the-sky scenario was you jump into the top four. You be a Dallas or a San Antonio.
I was hoping, I thought, they're going to get into like the three. I said, they'll get three.
So if you act like today, well, we didn't get one, the Mavs did, so we actually should have won more. You're just straight lying. You would have killed for the number two pick. Yep. You would have been through the roof if you got the three pick. You would have been ecstatic if you got the fourth pick. Ask Joe Cronin. You know what? Call Joe Cronin up, and you get him on the horn, and you ask, Joe, would you rather have 11 or 2? Joe, would you rather have 11 or 3?
Would you trade three regular season wins that nobody will remember in 5 years for the second overall pick of the draft?
It's just a lie. It's you could have had all that development you're touting. 36 wins, by the way. All that development you're touting, you could have had it
with 33
and been three
wins.
Games worse, and it wouldn't have mattered at all to you. It wouldn't have mattered with the development. But instead, we got to get the pushback because the team that got number one was better than you. So that, of course, means you need to be better so you can get the best pick versus having a top four pick in general.
Yeah, I think it's the biggest frustration that I have in covering this team and talking about this team. And I there is a splintered percentage of each side of the fan base, but I think what allows them to operate the way that they operate is because there are so many fans that believe that stuff. I was shocked last night, and I shouldn't have been shocked, but you know, I've been arguing, everybody has known my stance all year and how I felt about this. I send out my tweet and say, see, told you so. Look at that. It turned out exactly how I told you it was going to turn out. And the amount of people that he immediately jumped up to defend this organization, that's why we're in the position we're in, is because at the end of the day, for this ownership group, it is a business, and they want to make money. And what happened this year was when they had their first taste of success in how many years has it been since we had a 1-10 out of 11? Since we had any, I mean, we've had three or four openly tanking seasons. 1 year we shut down Dame early. It's been really ugly the last couple of years. It took one breath of fresh air of saying, look at that, we're playing competent basketball. We're trying hard.
A stretch in January and early February.
That was all it took, and then what happened? The Moda Center.
Yep.
What happened? It was packed again. Look at that. We're back, baby. And now there are so many people who will defend them at every turn and refuse to criticize them as a fan. It doesn't make you a bad fan to criticize the decisions that your team makes, and allowing them and continuing to buy tickets and continuing to support through everything and never refusing to point the finger at them and say, wait, what's the plan here? What are you doing? Is going to allow them to get away with this. And the plan is what I want to talk about coming up next, because there's a debate out there that has people on both sides of it. Are they stuck in purgatory? Some will say no. I will say yes. I'm curious what the pathway is from here. That's my next big question. We now know what the offseason will look like. We know the decisions that are ahead of you. What do they do with them, and where do they go from here? Let's get into that next on The Fan.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure?
Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. You can find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Let's go.
We're having a lot of fun here today. Bill Orme coming up top of the hour. We'll see how he feels about all of this. You know, the thing that I kept going back to last night, so the Blazers get the 11th overall pick. It's depressing, but for some reason, some people are like, this is great.
I don't think people are saying this is great. They're just like, hey, this is not a big deal.
Everything's great. The future's bright. To me, the biggest question is how, and this was my whole argument at the start of the year on why I felt the way I felt about their strategy of building the roster and keeping certain guys around. How do you take the next step? How do you go from, hey, fun little feisty non-playoff team, that's cool, that's now the bar that's been set of like a successful season winning 35 games. How do you become a playoff team?
36,
my apologies. How do you become a playoff team, and then how do you become a contender? And that to me is the ultimate.
You're not a contender.
Well, sure. I'm just saying, like, just can you win a playoffs here? Like, how do you get
I don't
to
know
that
if you
point?
Make the playoffs.
So let's workshop that. How do you get there from the position you're in right now?
Well, one, I think. Okay, I'm just going to try to spitball between what I think and what I think they're thinking. What I think they're thinking is, see what the trade market offers certain guys. Jeremy Grant's trade market's not going to be good. That contract blows.
Nobody wants Jeremy Grant. Nobody wants DeAndre Ayton. And Anfernee Simons is not having teams trip over themselves to trade for him.
Well, we'll get two top five picks and a first-round pick for Anfernee Simons, according to Worldwide WOB and the rest of the internet.
Of course we will.
If that deal happens, by the way, you take it. You don't even hesitate. Good luck in Houston, buddy.
And RB.
I think what they would say is, how do you get there? Well, your younger players develop, because they're really touting that from this past season was the growth and development. Okay. You're going to add a piece at the 11th pick, whether that's a Derek Queen or one mock had us taking a point guard, which I'm just like, can you just do an ounce of research?
I mean, would you be shocked?
Yeah, I would. I genuinely would. Well, I mean, look, you can say whatever you want. This version of the regime is not 6'3 guards everywhere. At the minimum, it's like, yo, maybe we just have a backlog of 6'6, 6'5 guys.
We have a little bit more size.
Like, if we got a fourth, I bet you we would have taken VJ Edgecombe. And I wouldn't have cared at all about the Shaden Sharp stuff. Just give me athletes, give me, you know, tall guys, whatever.
Figure it out later.
But I think they would say development, steady little moves, like finding Denny Avdia type deals, which I don't think are going to grow on trees very much for you.
Hey, you've gone from 36 wins to 38 wins. Congratulations.
But I think that's what they would say is, whether can we go from 36 to 40? Can we make the play-in next year? Because even though it sounded more like the coach was saying playoff, if they get into the play-in as a 10 seed, they're going to tout that.
Of course they will. And people, fans will eat that up.
People will eat that up and say, there it is. There's the growth. And then I'd say, well, Cooper Flagg's going into year two in Dallas.
Yeah, and how do you get past the 10 seed the next year after that? How do you take the next step after?
I mean, the only...
Without one of your players turning into a generational star, which I think all of us are in agreement on, is not going to happen.
Well, the best thing that can happen for this team is, and I hate to say this, is they need injuries. Because if you look at the landscape of the West today, assuming they keep the pick and they draft, whoever the hell it is at 11, that player is not immediately going to help them.
No.
Not on a game-to-game, night-to-night basis. Klingon was a 7th pick, he ain't doing it. Scoot was a 3rd pick, he ain't doing it. So if that guy's not going to day-to-day help you, you have to say, how many teams right now in the West are worse than us? And if there's not injuries, there will be, but if there's not, Utah? Is there anybody else?
Depending on what Utah does in the draft this year.
Well, I don't think Utah's going to get a game-changing player that's going to change everything about their
circumstance. No, not in a year.
And I think they want the kid that's going to BYU, that Danny Ainge and the owner of the Jazz are paying a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what New Orleans looks like. If Zion's healthy, I'd probably say they have a chance to be better, but that's not a guarantee.
Okay, so maybe New Orleans.
Maybe Phoenix if they blow it up. Maybe.
Okay, maybe. But they still got, it sounds like they might keep Booker. We'll wait to see on that. So there might be two teams, maybe a third, but right now, maybe one. So you need stuff to happen around you that is out of your control.
Sure.
To answer your question in a long-winded way, it is going to be steady growth. It is going to be few games per season unless something falls into your lap. That's what I think the answer is.
So last night was your chance to have something fall into your lap. Nothing fell into your lap. Do you know where how the Blazers' first-round draft selection is looking next year? They don't have one. They don't have a first-round pick next year. They traded it. So you don't have a first-round pick now again until 2020.
Is that the Chicago?
I don't know if it was the Chicago or part of Denny Avdia. I don't know what trade it was a part of. I'm just looking at their future draft capital.
I thought the Avdia one was one of the
They do not have a 2026 first-round pick, so I don't know. Maybe that's...
Where are you seeing, is that SpotTrack?
I'm looking at fanspo.com, a list of all future first-round picks. So my contention...
Well, that's very problematic. They need to get one of those.
Yeah, that'd be nice, right? My contention has largely been you're stuck exactly where you don't want to be, and you don't have a way out of this, because steady growth is fine for 20% of the fan base who will buy season tickets year in and year out and be happy with whatever crap is shoveled towards them.
Yeah.
And they don't expect more or demand more out of their teams. And golly gee willikers, that was fun. We beat the Wizards. There's a fan base that fan exists. I grant you that. How you get out of this is by getting extremely lucky in the draft lottery, which that opportunity passed last night, not going to happen. You're not going to have a first-round pick again until 2027 unless you trade for one. Then it's, okay, well, you're not in purgatory because you have future assets. The first Milwaukee pick is not until 2028. And it's, by the way, it's a more favorable rights pick thing. It's a pick swap thing with Milwaukee that year. And then you have their first-round pick, similar thing, swap rights with Milwaukee in 2030.
Which, by the way, Milwaukee does end up getting in on the Giannis trade stuff. Do they get the second pick this year? And does Dylan Harper go to Milwaukee and say,
well,
hey, that's
happen.
Cade Cunningham 2.0. Milwaukee's not as bad in 3 years.
Very well. Things change drastically. That's 5 years away from now, right? Yeah. And I would ask, for those who say, well, you have those assets, that means you're not in purgatory. So are you telling me I'm waiting until 2028 to draft my star? That's 3 years from now. You're trading the picks. Okay. Mikal Bridges was traded last offseason. How many first-round picks did he get traded for?
He got 5.
Okay. Is Mikal Bridges a player who's going to lead a team to a championship?
Lead a team,
If you put Mikal Bridges on the Portland Trailblazers and you traded 5 first-round picks for him, does that change your outlook in the next couple of years?
Probably
to
not.
A legitimate contender?
Probably not.
Okay. So again, I ask the question, how do you get out of this?
You call up Nico Harrison and you say, give us the Luca special. Cooper Flag for nothing.
Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Well, here's the other part of it. This is the kind of the dirty secret part that I don't want to acknowledge, but you kind of have to when you're having these conversations. Do they want to get out of it?
I don't think they do. That's
because
the whole point I'm making.
Being the 7 seed fills up the Moda Center, makes
being
money.
Being the 10 seed will sell out the Moda Center for the majority of next season.
Yeah, and it'll probably
winning
up your 40 viewership.
Games is all you need to do to make this fan base happy. And that's the problem.
Well,
we got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. Mail sack coming up at 8:15. Get your questions into the fan text line. 503-864-6326. We'll answer them. Bill Orem launches the final hour next on 1080 The Fan.